their inspiration comes just from their own play experiences, and of course being vested in the continued EverQuest 2 story, because all this is part of you know, a Destiny of Prophecy within the lore for EverQuest 2 that started from the day of launch.
Yeah, that's really the cool thing about this version of Velius, is that you get all the nostalgia stuff that you get from the original Velius and the mentions that are there, but then it's wedded with all the Ages End prophecy stuff that we're doing right now with what's going on in the EQ2 world. So you end up with something different, but it's like seeing an old friend in a completely new light.
That's a good analogy. So, you know, our community can be quite spirited. They've been with us for a long time. So this is actually, you know, one question that we pulled that's, you know, been asked quite a bit. And obviously, you know, team's been very, very busy. In addition to all the stuff that we've done with the game, you know, and all the launches and the new content we've had, but we've also had things like the Fortune League Facebook game. We've just launched EverQuest 2 mobile, the mobile phone app. So we get this questions like this, you know, with all the things that the team has been working on, you know, this year, can the players still expect the same level of quality and polish in this expansion that they've come to expect from the previous expansions? And how would you judge, you know, the current progress in beta to be compared with previous expansions?
I would say that we are in a really good state. You know, we made it a point to basically treat the beta launch as kind of a soft launch, so we pushed towards the highest quality we could achieve within that given amount of time for our content, dungeon population, things like that. And one of the bigger things is that we were actually able to get the expansion fully itemized for beta so that players could actually be playing beta and getting the items that we want them to get. So it's easier for us to balance, and they can kind of be close to what it's going to be at live. So it doesn't feel as much as like, oh, they're just in process. It feels more complete. And from our point of view, we're more in a tweak stage and able to feel more feedback and react to it better than if we're in the middle of putting stuff out. So I think that absolutely the quality level is probably higher than previous beta releases. And I think the voice is going to be really solid.
And as far as those ancillary products that we've put out recently, the only person that they affected was me. So we had third-party developers working on those projects, and I spent a lot of time helping them with their design and what they were doing and where they were going and making sure it was getting done, but that didn't affect the rest of the team at all. And then as far as the process, like Salim says, we've had more beta period on this expansion than we've had on any of the most recent ones, that's for sure. And I would venture to say that the quality level is far higher because we've had that iteration. Most people realize this, but some people don't. Quality in games is all about iteration. You get what you originally planned to have done, and then if you have time, you get to go back and say, well, that was good, but we can make it better this way, or it's not intuitive, we need to change that for this, you know, and so on and so forth. And the more time you have to just continuously knitter over that stuff, the better off you are. And we still have 3 weeks before we launch this baby, so we still have time to polish even further than we have now, and that's definitely going to affect the end result.
Sure, and you know, certainly we've benefited from the beta time and, you know, the feedback from the players, so yeah, that's a lot of great stuff. You know, going back again to the you know, to the EverQuest and the original Velius, you know, a lot of players want to know, you know, just thinking about that, you know, what were the elements of the, you know, the original EverQuest version of, you know, Velius that you felt absolutely needed to be included in this expansion?
I think if anything, probably one of the most memorable things is definitely going to be Giants and Dragons from Velius. And with this release of Velius, Kale is—it's crazy. It's fantastic. As far as sheer size go, we've captured the idea of these massive giants walking through this gigantic city. You know, I believe the size of it is larger than both our current overlands put together. It's just this huge city, and the designer working at Kander, it's just, he did an excellent job of just capturing these massive creatures. You know, Ralisek is back, and just it's just super awesome, right? And as far as comparing it to original EverQuest, I think it's a very good you know, contemporary look at what's happened over 500 years in game time with the Giants. It's just fantastic. Super excited about playing through it.
You know, a lot of players were curious if you recall, or from the infamous zones in the original Velius, you know, or sorry, well, rather with the new, you know, the new zones that we're coming out with for the Destiny of Elias, mm-hmm. you know, what your favorite zones are?
With the current stuff?
With the current zones? Stuff.
Yeah, that's hard. Tower of Frozen Shadow and Velcators, all those things are just...
Velcators.
They're just really good. I love them all. I think they're all really well done. If I absolutely had to choose a favorite, it would probably be the seventh floor in Tower of Frozen Shadow. Is something that we've never really done before. And when people see it, I don't want to give it away for those who aren't in beta. They're just going to be, their minds are going to be blown away.
Fantastic.
Velks is like that too.
Yes, absolutely. Velcators is also visually just stunning.
So to switch gears and talk about gear for a moment, how will the Destiny of Velias gear compare to the gear in Sentinel Spate?
We haven't talked about that at all recently.
So, Sentinel's Fate, Destiny of Velias gear will be better. There's obviously a player growth that we have to nurture. And we had to, as a design team, we had to stop and look at where our players were power-wise, and the types of problems that we were running into with just standard inflation and things like that. Sentinel's Fate definitely introduced some of those, while the itemization was well done, we end up hitting a wall on something. So we had to review these problems and come up with solutions. Destiny of Velias items are definitely better. We focus more on passive player power versus you relying on randomness of procs. But on top of that, we're allowing players to take a dearth of procs and apply them to different slots at will. So players will get to choose these different effects they want to do, kind of mix and match and see what works best for their particular class or whatever. On top of that, the standard item growth is very straightforward, very easy to understand. This item is definitely more powerful than this, and it's kind of a shell that they can socket and put other things in if they want to.
There's quite a bit of customizability in the new items, but it is definitely different than what we had before.
Yes, indeed.
So certainly a whole bunch of depth to everything that goes into gear with this game.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, talking a little bit about story events, one player wants to know, will we be seeing more of the story events, you know, such as the Mars Twins, or perhaps a trip into the Shard of Valor? And will there be any access to the growth in the Awakening Lands?
So the first part of those we're not really focused on at the moment. As far as growth, there are no plans to introduce Shard of Growth or anything like that, at least not now, not with Velias 1. What happens after that, really couldn't speak to. But the other stuff, we currently, it's kind of shelved as far as what we're going to do with that. So you won't really see anything about the Marsh Winds or Shard of Valor or anything at the moment.
Kind of brings in the point, people ask a lot of times, like, is Velias as big as the original Velias from EQ1 and things like that? And honestly, the answer is that there was so much in Velias, and we wanted to do so much with it in EQ2, that to do it all at once was going to be this just mammoth undertaking. And so we've decided to split it up into at least two parts, and it's going to depend upon what we discover as we do the next stuff over the coming year, whether or not we'll stay at two. But right now we're planning on two parts. So some of the stuff that isn't in the first part is definitely going to be in the second part, but not guaranteed everything. We're not going to try to cram everything that was in Velias 1 into Velias 2. We've got new ideas to go with it too. So it's going to end up being a different critter, but there will be more.
Fantastic.
It's a critter. I like that.
It's a critter. It's got eight legs.
Will we be able to get access to the previously? Sorry, let me read the question directly from the player. Will we be able to get the area previously known as Cobalt Scar? Are the dragon hatching grounds there still teeming with dragon mothers and their young?
I think when the thing about dragon hatchlings, I think he's more referring to West Wastes, which was the Overland Zone that had a bunch of dragons in it. Super amount of fun. West Waste is not a part of Velias 1. It will be a part of Velias 2. Like Dave said, Bellice is just a huge beast, and West Waste in particular, we want to make sure we do that well. So that's not a part of it. I'm pretty sure that putting those two together, that's what Maury's referring to. Cobalt Scar doesn't exist in Bellice 1 either.
Switching from some of the content to raid zones, mm-hmm. Will the Vellius raid zones have dynamic interactions?
We're trying to do some different things with the raids. Sentinel's Fate's raids were really well done. They're certainly fun to play, and we're trying to continue that same idea. We're adding a couple new mechanics, trying to rely more on other classes, other archetypes to kind of help with debuffing mobs. And mobs have this thing called confidence, and every archetype can kind of swipe that thing off of there, and they have to kind of keep that up on top of moving around or dealing with other stuff. But yeah, there's a lot of outside the box thinking when it comes to the stuff. Some of it's very eventy, some of it's just kind of thinking and paying attention. So we're kind of shifting gears left and right. So I think it's going to be pretty awesome.
Awesome. Stay on the raid theme. For the last couple of expansions, raid progression has been staggered between zones. Will Destiny of Vellius be the same? Also, will there be any easy/hard modes?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. There's a full raid progression for easy mode and hard mode raids. We're talking about post-release stuff.
We can talk about it.
So we have a full plan for post-release that will continue the story of Vellius 1. And every release with that, we plan on releasing an easy and hard mode tiered raid structure. Sorry.
Let me interrupt for just a second. Just to be clear, what that means is that the number of raids that we have listed on the box is just the ones that are released in the box. We have a bunch of stuff in the can ready to go out in successive GUs when we come out with them later on in the year, and they'll be tied to Vellius. So those will roll out, and they'll continue to tell the story over periods of time. And we're also setting that up so that people don't just race to the last raid and just live there forever.
Yeah.
So that there'll be reason for them to go through and find all this stuff. It'll be very, very nice.
Oh, fantastic. What level ranges are we dealing with for the Vellius zones?
Vellius starts at about 85. The first zone, Iceclad, starts with, it's 85 start, ending at 90, and then Eastern Wastes is 90. So very small level range there, but it's a max level expansion.
I love this question. This is a great question. How do you intend to get us to the new zone? Bell, ring, portal, and from where? I.e. sinking sand, perhaps. I don't know if you have some sort of taxi system rigged up, or maybe it's a dirigible
turtle.
Or something like that.
Yep, turtle. What is all sinking
giant
sand?
Turtle.
Giant turtle.
Yes. Yes, everyone who hears the name Lotazol will remember that for sure. And I think we talked about putting a bell in. I'm not sure if it was post...
Yeah, it's going to be post, I think. Yeah.
But we also have plans for some teleportation stuff that you unlock, things like that. But that won't be a part of the release.
Yeah, the teleportation stuff, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
In Vellius and EQ21, you were able to choose one out of three warring factions to quest for. Are we doing something similar here?
We definitely recognize that was one of the key parts of Vellius, was the fact, like I said, that your choices had consequences. Within the EQ2 world, we didn't think we could pull that off very successfully, just the way the game works. But faction is very important still. You still want to help the denizens of Iceclad, Great Divide, all those things. Obviously the Kuldane and a smaller faction related to the Giants, or the Rygor, sorry. Because by raising faction with them, you unlock certain rewards, you unlock the adornments that I mentioned before. So there's definitely a reason to raise these factions all the way around, but we weren't able to capture the warring faction idea very well. We didn't think we'd be able to do it perfectly as far as EQ2 goes.
There are definitely some faction things that you need to deal with during this in this expansion, but it's not the same way that it was set up in the original Vellius. What is going on with that light?
Light is definitely driving me crazy.
you know, coming from a couple of guys who are used to being able to control in-game lighting, you know, this is RL. We've got, you know, we've got our own little difficulties. We should talk to our environment artist and get a more stable setup. So, you know, our community team here, they are jack of all trades, lighting experts, webcast experts, forums, you guys name it.
Okay.
You're talking about some more contact thing, and again, I love this question. And everybody on the team will know I'm not the best at pronunciations yet for some of the lore, but people want to know if the otter-like beings, the Othmir, will be a new playable race.
I'll let him answer that.
Not anytime soon. However, do you mind if I talk about that first day?
First day? I mean, you know, we gotta engage the audience. So.
All right. Okay, so what we're going to do is after Destiny of Veles launches, we'll have 8 days of events. And the first day, if you log in during that day, you get a potion with 50 charges that lets you play as an Othmir. And we have added a lot of animations to the Othmir to let you pull off emotes and ride on mounts properly and all kinds of stuff. So although it's not a full playable race, it's also pretty cool. So we'll do some stuff with Othmir.
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, you know, it's, I can see the marketing now for Quest 2, 100% more otters than any other MMO on the market. I think it's a winner. But that, you know, you heard it here first. Launch week for Destiny of Veles, we're going to be having 8 days worth of events. We've just announced the first one. We'll have more information as we get closer to launch. But we've got some very, very exciting very, very exciting opportunities, you know, coming up to participate, play, both before and after a launch. So you're going to want to keep in close touch as we, bring you more detail.
Day 8 is cool.
Going to be awesome. Will we ever see the possibility to own multiple houses for one character, or gardens, forests, or anything more than just the standard house?
Well, I announced it yesterday or the day before. What did I announce?
A couple days ago.
We're going to do house ownership, multiple house ownership, and we'll also do something called prestige homes. And multiple house ownership, well, that's pretty self-explanatory. You can own more than one house. You'd have to go to the regular doors to do it. But then there's also prestige homes, which we have a collection of small homes that are too small for people to use as their main. Or more importantly, they don't want to trade down to like the Skyblade skiff is very cool, but nobody wanted to take their 8-room house and try to cram it onto just the skiff. So what we're doing is prestige homes where you can, say you go to the Skyblade skiff and you pick up the portal object that spawns from it, you can then go to your main house, stick that portal object inside your main house, and then use it as a teleport link to the Skyblade skiff. So the concept of prestige homes is that you can effectively create, for lack of a better non-fantasy term, it's like a networked house. So you can keep putting these portals and stuff in it. And in fact, the prestige home can spawn multiple portals. So you can have the same prestige home connected from multiple main houses. So it'll be really cool. The decorators are, well, this is the one time they actually like me. So.
Our housing system is just so robust. It's adding
our housing system is amazing, and very this awesome. Will be very cool for anybody that's interested in housing at all.
We just have a few minutes left in this first webcast, so I'm gonna, you know, we're gonna move quickly now and get to a couple of great, you know, quick teaser questions. You know, tease a little bit, and we can talk more, you know, next Friday when we do the next live webcast. But flying mounts, just briefly, are we gonna be able to use those anywhere in Norrath? What information can you tease out of it? When I think about the expansion, I think that's the biggest thing, to be able to have a flying mount.
Everywhere except indoor and in cities, you'll be able to use the flying mounts. So you can fly over all the old world content, all that stuff, and in fact, they'll see that right away when they start playing around with it. But yes, you can go almost everywhere. And I can't wait personally to fly around with other people in the Kingdom of Sky, because that's what the Darn Zone was built for.
Yeah.
So it's finally coming out. It'll be great.
So that may work into my next question, would be, you know, what features or areas are you most looking forward to the player base experiencing in Veles?
Features is by far probably...
Oh, the public quests. I can't wait for people to play the public quests. We've received really great feedback during beta from people that have played them. All the things where you can, you know what a public quest is, where it's events that spontaneously go off, and basically anybody in the area can participate in those, and the more the merrier. Other games have had public quests, and one of the drawbacks to them is that once the zone is less populated, the quests are not useful, but these are all designed to be to scale up and down with the population that goes with them, so they're always fun. And it's been well received, and I can't wait for people to rip into them.
Yeah, and speaking of the public quests, the big thing that we get out of that is that we're able to recreate the Colmain Ring quest. So we have the Ring War so that you can get the 10th ring, and I think that's going to be super awesome.
Really
I keep
cool.
saying awesome just because the expansion is just going to be that great.
So I've got one last plea here from a player, asking if you can please tease us about Velius Part 2 without giving away too much more too much detail with the marketing guy looking down. But what details can you hint at?
None.
None. I like that.
There will be
approved.
Snow.
There will be snow.
There will be dragons. We can say that much.
It will be called Velius.
There will be snow. There will be dragons.
Dragons, yes.
We're not revealing anything.
That's
probably
all they care about, dragons. Yeah.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I really want to thank everyone in the community again for watching. This has been fantastic. Hopefully you guys have found this informative. Keep your questions coming into their community team. Don't forget, next week, same time, EverQuest 2, Destiny of Velius live webcast, and then we'll also be posting the recording, which you can be able to find through EverQuest2.com, or you can link up to our Facebook page and watch it off Facebook. It's been a pleasure, and we'll see you next Friday. Thanks for watching.